I'm speaking here with Allie Devine. And Allie, I guess, first of all, for those of us who don't know you, tell me a little bit about who you work for and what you do.
My name is Allie Devine. I'm an attorney with the Kansas Livestock Association. I also work closely with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. And on particular issues of policy, I review the policy. I work with producers to understand how the policy will affect their operations.
Well, we've got coming up here very shortly in Fort Collins, Colorado, one of the regular scheduled listening sessions on competition in the livestock industry that's being hosted by USDA and the Department of Justice. This one, I think, might have some very special implications, what have you, for the cattle industry especially. And I guess if you don't mind, give us a little bit of background on kind of how we got to where we're at with this proposed GPSA rulemaking, and which we think will be dominating the discussion there.
Yes. These issues in marketing and competition in agriculture have gone on for a number of years. And I think the workshops are an extension of the Obama administration's trying to address a number of complaints that people have had in the industry, not only in the beef sector, but in poultry, swine, the seed industry, the dairy industry. And the Obama administration, through the USDA and the Department of Justice, have been hosting these workshops around the nation. But actually, the issues started many years ago. I think we've had a number of debates and discussions over the last 10, 15 years that I've worked in agriculture. And in particular, they really kind of surfaced again during the 2008 Farm Bill, when the Congress had a number of issues raised, primarily that came out of the poultry industry and relating to production contracts. And I think that's the first distinction people need to understand. Production contracts are where, in the poultry industry, are where the processor owns the livestock. In the poultry industry, it is very vertically integrated, unlike the beef industry or the swine industry, where producers, farmers, ranchers, cattlemen actually own the livestock and then contract with packers for the marketing of the livestock. So we have a difference between production contracts and marketing contracts. During the 2008 Farm Bill, the Congress looked at a number of issues, primarily focused on production contracts, and they looked at the Packers and Stockyards Act and looked at prohibited practices and the prohibitions go against actions of the packers. And two of those practices are that a packer may not provide an unfair or unjustly discriminatory practice or cannot make or give any undue or unreasonable preference. Those terms are not defined in the law, and in the 2008 Farm Bill, there were a number of efforts to define those terms by the Congress, and in the end, the discussions went in a variety of ways. Many of the proposals were defeated, and then in the end, they settled on five things that they wanted USDA to do. One of those things was to write regulations on 5 points, primarily, again, focusing on poultry and swine contracts, relating to arbitration provisions, relating to cancellation or termination of contract provisions. And one other point, they directed USDA to write regulations on what is an undue or an unreasonable preference. In June, that was the deadline for USDA to get this regulation published. USDA published the regulation, they did the five things, and then a whole lot more. And it's the whole lot more that has attracted a lot of attention in this regulation.
Well, that is for sure. I think that goes without saying. And when you look at what those additional proposed regulations in the proposed rule, which is, if I understand it, kind of on hold pending some, you know, gathering further comments at this point from all the stakeholders. What are some of the things that kind of have been added into there that are causing the most concern, especially especially in the cattle industry?
Well, the cattle industry has probably been the least regulated when it comes to contractual arrangements of any of the livestock sectors. Because of that, the cattle industry is brought into this regulation and has really, USDA has really expanded its jurisdiction over the cattle industry that we have not seen before. One of the things it does is it requires, the new regulation requires USDA to receive contracts from processors when a processor enters into a marketing arrangement with a producer. Never before have processor-to-producer contracts been required to be reported to USDA. Under the regulation, USDA requires that reporting and then says that they will post the provisions of those contracts on their website. For our producers, that is really problematic in that they have confidential business information that they've included in many of these contractual arrangements. Manners in which they may process their cattle or care for their cattle, from natural to very specific feeding programs that develops a specific type of beef product. Many of our producers don't want that information published on the website because their competitors, other producers, will be able to use their innovations against them. So for our producers, that's their first problem. Another problem they see with the regulation is that USDA has required packers to justify any time they pay a premium or a discount on a particular pen of livestock or purchase of livestock. Here, if USDA then reviews again those transactions, if they find there's an undue preference or somehow a premium that was paid that was not justified, then that would be an automatic violation of the Act. That is a really serious concern in that it'll open the packer to a number of either governmental regulation or civil suits by complaining parties, which if you logically would say, how many times is the packer going to go down the path of offering premiums only to have them later reviewed and maybe held in violation of the Act before the packer will simply pull back those premiums and say, no, thank you, we're going to bid everything at the same price so we don't have to run the gamut of government intervention.
Now, does that potentially mean that on the surface, we're kind of been led to believe that the proposed rules would kind of benefit the producer out there, even though it does require some additional regulations on the packer side. But is the reality that this might have some unintended consequences, I guess I'm saying?
Exactly. And, you know, nothing on the face of the regulation says that it prohibits a packer from paying a premium. But the reality of the marketplace and the reality of government involvement in any business is that business will do everything they can to avoid risk or any type of civil penalties or any type of actions that the government later says you must cease and desist from that activity. Here's how it hurts producers. Producers in the cattle industry, a recent USDA survey and study showed that 65% of cattle are marketed through alternative marketing arrangements. These are largely arrangements that producers have sought, asked for, and received from packers to market their cattle in the way they see fit. If the government now says, we will review those, we will make determinations of what is just and unjust, what is fair and unfair, not the marketplace, then it's not long before a packer says, I'm not going to do this. It is simply not worth my business being questioned continuously for me to continue down this path of offering any premiums. So consequently, what would you do? You would simply say, I'm going to bid everything the same. The fear of our producers is this. 15, 20 years ago, we had a generic marketplace where livestock were all bid essentially the same, and the ups or downs were totally dependent upon the discretion of a packer in an auction market. The producers could not get access to some of the real key information that they needed to improve the genetics of their herds to recapture some of the premiums that they saw they were capable of getting if they had a higher grade animal. So here what we're afraid of is by the packer pulling back because they do not want the government reviewing every transaction with the risk of civil penalties, cease and desist orders, or in an extreme, even the revocation of their licenses, then they'll return to this generic pricing, which means that the people who get hurt the most are those who have been innovative, who have sought to gain market share by creating a specific product. They will not be able to capture those profits any longer.
So I've heard some kind of describe this that you know, if that is the case, it really is going to stifle or maybe I should say inhibit the incentive for producers for things like even natural or other types of ways they might be able to market their product then.
Yes, I visited with some producers recently, and you'll hear some of this at Fort Collins if they get a chance to speak. They will talk about, we have worked hard to get certain markets so that we can differentiate our product and our herd from others to gain market share and to gain profitability. And they simply think that those programs are going to be so cost prohibitive on the risk assessment side by the packer that the packer will discontinue them. At a recent National Cattlemen's Beef Association meeting, one cattle buyer stood up and said, let's make sure we all understand what this regulation's about. The biggest of the packers will be able to buy animals at a generic one-price-fits-all scenario, and we'll be able to take them in and sort them in our coolers. We'll be able to manage and we'll be able to make money, but you as producers will receive the same thing. That is the exact opposite reaction that the drafters of this document thought they were doing. And while it may have been well intended to protect producers, you are exactly right that the unintended consequences are significant and need to be examined very carefully.
Well, I think there's going to be some examining at this listening session, which as we said, the purpose of the session isn't an agenda item to focus on this GPSA rulemaking, but it is, from a timeliness standpoint, probably going to be a major topic of discussion. So for cattle producers out there, I guess we could encourage them. What could we encourage them at this point in terms of making their voice heard?
Well, the first thing I would encourage every cattleman to do is read about this regulation. The regulation is, you know, government speak is always very difficult to go through, but read the proposed rule. Read what the National Cattlemen's Beef Association has written. Read what the American Meat Institute has written. You're welcome to go to the Kansas Livestock Association's website, which is kla.org. Read what we have written about the regulation. The regulation is not final. The comment period is open until the end of November, mid to end of November. It's very easy to make comments. You go to the USDA's website, and you can file your comments. You can make a statement about whether you believe these provisions are clear or unclear and what you want or do not want them to do. At the same time, it is important that producers who are concerned about this regulation or competition in the marketplace or for that matter, if you think that the system is working, then you need to have your voice heard through your congressional delegation, or to go to Fort Collins and make a statement, or just go and listen. It costs nothing to attend the meeting. You must go online and register at USDA's website that you plan to attend the conference. I think it's a good opportunity for people to understand the direction USDA is planning to take the livestock sector. And I will say, from an attorney standpoint, it is a significant departure from where we have been in the past.
Well, we will definitely point people in that direction to make sure that they do hopefully have a voice in this, as we said. And I really do appreciate, Allie, you're taking some time to help give us a little bit of background perspective on what we're dealing here. I will be attending the session and looking forward to that, and appreciate the support from NCBA to get that done and putting me in touch with you.
And the night before, on the 26th, there will be an opportunity for producers to listen to a panelist outside of USDA to ask questions of National Cattlemen's Beef Association members, and the National Pork Producers Council are also having producers there to answer questions.
I will also be attending that, so I'm looking forward to it. Well, again, I want to really thank you, Allie Devine. She is with the Kansas Livestock Association. We're talking about this upcoming USDA and Department of Justice listening session on basically competition in the livestock industry, but with some major implications through the GIPSA proposed rulemaking that will probably dominate the discussion there. I'm Chuck Zimmerman reporting.